It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All the headlines are biggest one-day point drop ever. Mm-hmm. But in perspective, if you look at that in percentage terms, it's not even in the top 20 because of the base that we started off of at 26,000. And so a bad day was the crash of 87 where the market was down almost 23% in a day. Now that was a bad day. What the average investor is going to see is their 401k plan is down. However, this is why I love 401k plans. You put away a little bit of your paycheck every 2 weeks, and you're buying when the market is high, and you're buying when the market is low, and over the long term, you average a better price. If you let the system work, don't change anything that you do, now you're going to be buying more shares. So this works in your favor. The average American during this period should do nothing. Mm-hmm. You should not be changing your approach. You should allow dollar cost averaging, which is what it is called, to work for you. You don't see big investors making huge changes on one day things going on in the stock markets.
But if this continues, when should we start to worry?
I wouldn't be worried for a long time because the underlying fundamentals are so strong, not only in the U.S., but in major markets around the globe.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And the reason I start with that is because this week we've experienced quite a ride in the money markets and in the stock markets. And that affects all of us, even if you don't think that you're invested in stocks. You are in some way or another affected by this. That was Melanie Hobson of CBS News. And just to recap what happened, interestingly enough, of course, the economy has been growing by leaps and bounds. Unemployment is at a 17-year low. The average hourly earning for the average American is rising at an annual rate of 2.9%, and that's the highest in 8 years. We know that jobs are coming back. We know that manufacturing is coming back. We know the president has talked about this a great deal. And when he goes out and talks to people. We also read over the weekend, the president's approval ratings are up to, I think, 49%. We also read that the Democrats are not doing well as they had hoped in midterm polls, pre-election polls. And so it just was interesting to me that on Monday, we suddenly have this earthquake in the stock market. The Dow fell by 1,175 points on Monday. The Dow Industrial Average saw its biggest one-day point drop in history. The S&P 500 had its worst day since 2011. Stocks in Europe and Asia subsequently tumbled. And in Japan, the same thing, and on we could go. It was a very big deal what happened on Monday. So immediately when that happened, I'm not a financial person, but I guess I'm a common sense person. I was raised by a businessman. My dad was one. I said to myself, what's changed? Why suddenly on Monday morning, after all of this good news, would there be some sort of a shift, this basic like earthquake in the markets? And I thought of Kevin Freeman, because Kevin is an expert in economic warfare and financial terrorism. He's the author of Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. And so I reached out to Kevin because I knew he'd have some thoughts on this. Kevin, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, good morning, Sandy. Great to be here.
Kevin, you just heard kind of two different things. You heard Melanie Hobson poo-poo it, say it's not such a big deal, just hold on, don't change anything. And then you heard me give the numbers and what happened around the globe. How bad, from your perspective, was that plunge on Monday?
Well, the plunge on Monday, there's a line in one of the Avengers movies. It's just an old historical thing. If you can make God bleed, he's no longer God. And the stock market had been virtually God to most Americans. It went up relentlessly. It hadn't gone down in 10 years. We have a whole generation that didn't think the market could go down, and they woke up Monday and saw the severe plunge, and then realized maybe it's not the perfect safe haven investment that we thought. Maybe it's not everything perfect. So it broke investor confidence. It was the first break in investor confidence since, as you mentioned, 2011. And it really does change things. It's a direct assault on the Trump claim that, you know, the economy is getting better and everything else. So there's reason to be suspicious.
All right. So, but we are sort of led to believe that the markets, they rise and they fall, and, you know, businessmen are busy, you know, thinking about trades and things like that. And they're not thinking about, they're not trying to manipulate politically, because they just care about what happens politically only to the extent that it affects their money. But you say that markets and economies can be manipulated. How can that be, Kevin?
Well, it's true. Markets do rise and fall naturally, and what we saw on Monday can be explained away, but they also can be manipulated. And one example is, if you listen carefully, the commentators will be talking about some obscure derivative instrument known as the XIV, and then they'll mention the VIX, which represents volatility. Wall Street's created all of these products that allow you to invest to, well, I think the market's going to get more volatile, so I'll bet on that. Well, I think it's going to get less volatile. And all of these things called exchange-traded funds or exchange-traded notes or derivatives or swaps or all of these things create opportunities for mischief. And we may have seen one of those play out on Monday when the XIV, which was a bet that big hedge funds had made that the market's going to remain calm and it's going to stay calm, it blew up because the market started getting less calm. And in January of 2015, the FBI brought charges, or the Justice Department brought charges, after the FBI had noticed Russians trying to learn how to meddle in our stock market. And they brought charges because the Russians were investigating these exchange-traded products to say, is there a way we could cause an American stock market crash using these?
All right. And one of the things, of course, that Kevin, this is, you are such an expert, and I freely tell people up front, this is like me trying to talk about NFL football and the plays. So I'm out of my league in terms of not names and descriptions of the things that are transpiring. But my understanding is that on Monday, much of the bad stuff happened electronically. That in other words, trading can be done automatically now. It isn't just you call your broker and your broker calls in something. It isn't like that anymore. So what part did that electronic and automatic sell, buying and selling play in what happened on Monday?
The majority of trading is done electronically. At times, 70, 80, 90% of trades are electronic. Most, according to Fidelity, who watches their clients' accounts, most of the selling that took place on Monday was not individual clients. In fact, they said individual clients were adding to their portfolios, not selling. So it was electronic, and that can be manipulated. I think Jim Cramer called it a flash crash. And what happens is, without any knowledge or without any American investor involvement, it is possible for a large investors, hedge funds, or overseas players to push such a large number of sell orders that they create a panic and create this massive downturn. And that's what I've been warning about since 2008, that foreign investors could manipulate Americans using our stock market, either manipulate our political behavior because we vote a certain way when we see the market going a certain way, or manipulate our economy, panic Congress. You can do a lot if you can move the stock market one direction or another. And what I'm here to tell you is, that can be done. I don't know if that's what took place Monday, but I can tell you foreign powers and domestic hedge funds have the power to move markets.
I first got acquainted with you, Kevin, after that crash of 2008. I think that's the first time you and I spoke. And I remember it so well. It was the day before my birthday. It was right before my father passed away. I was actually tending to him, and it was just and I was working in Washington, so it was a strange time in my life, so it marked me. All right, so the stock marked a lot of us, because the stock market crashed and then the election went the way it did. And I always felt, just in my reasoning power, not because I knew anything, that was very suspicious, extremely. If it's possible to condense your theory on that, could you do that just for a second?
Sure. Well, in 2008, there's no doubt that the Russians were attempting to manipulate our economy. In fact, Hank Paulson said in his memoirs, the former Treasury Secretary, that the Chinese told him that Russia was trying to collapse Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the summer of 2008 before the election to hurt the American economy. And one theory that I have is that they did it because they wanted to change who was running the White House, which party was in charge. And there's 100% correlation. If you have a stock market crash right before an election, the American people vote the party that's in power out of power and the out-of-power party into power. If you want Russian interference in an election, that was it. It happened then. And we also have evidence that the sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East were trying to take down our economy as an act of financial jihad. And we have a large amount of evidence, and I did this work for the Pentagon. It's in published reports. It's in my book. So people try to manipulate our markets in order to get, you know, as an act of war against America or to manipulate behavior.
You also talk, we're not going to have time to discuss all of these things we need to talk about. You talk about the war against the dollar, that the Chinese and the Russians are trying to bring down the dollar, and we're not going to be able to take that detour. But I want to make sure that I ask you about George Soros, because he's making the headlines. He seems to be connected with every bad actor in this country. We know that Soros has brought down economies before. Has he done it in any way closely related to this?
Well, there's no way for me to tell you if Soros or people like him were manipulating, but you point out rightly that the timing happens when the memo release comes out that exonerates, you know, that puts away some of the Russia collusion in the last election issues, when the State of the Union comes out and people start turning in favor towards the president, the economy's improving, polling is improving, and then all of a sudden we have a stock market crash. So it is possible that someone did that to break the momentum of the Republicans and the presidents as we go into this important midterm election.
So the advice from that CBS reporter was, you know, just hang on, don't do anything. Do you feel that same way?
You know, I was trained by a valuation expert named John Templeton. You invest where you find bargains and values, and when you see the market expensive, you don't. The market was expensive going into the little mini hiccup that we've had, but the economy is improving, and so there's a good reason to be investing, especially now that prices have come down. The worry is someone out there trying to manipulate it.
Yeah, and how are we to know? We can't know. All right, we have just about a minute left, Kevin, and so let's go back to the dollar, because you say the Chinese and the Russians are trying to destroy the dollar. Explain what, if you can, in a minute, why they're trying to do that.
Well, as the United States built its power around the world, a lot of that power is military, but a lot of it's financial based, that we control most of the Western financial system, so we can sanction people who are bad actors and so forth. Russia and China has tried to remove the dollar and remove our control of the world financial system because they want to be free from American dominance. Right now, if we used our power and cut Russia off from the financial system, it would crater their economy. They don't like that. They want to replace that.
All right, so we have several possibilities for a situation like Monday, which no doubt will be repeated. And that would be the Russians, because you feel that they were involved in the 2008 crash. So the Chinese cooperating with the Russians, and also bad actors like potentially a George Soros, it was the British economy that he tinkered with, wasn't it?
It was, and he broke the British pound and kept them out of the euro as a result of it. And he made $1 billion in one day.
All right. So much more to talk about. So, Kevin, we have to speak more frequently. Let me just say Kevin's book is Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. There's so much more to learn from Kevin on volumes more. And Kevin, thank you so much for getting up so early and being our guest this morning. I do appreciate it.